You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast. And joining the other line today, I do not have a joke this time. I did not think of one before the show, is Mr. Tony East. And before we even start the show, Tony, both our football teams won today. Your football team did my football team a favor.
You're welcome.
Oh, good day for us, right?
Great day for us. You could have said a man who did not have a 40-point triple-double in the finals, by the way.
Or actually funnier, because a man who did not score zero runs in 23 innings.
Phillies didn't make the playoffs, so I can't do that either.
Yeah, but the Reds would have been better off not making the playoffs.
This is a basketball podcast, so I won't make fun of the Reds, especially because my dad's a Reds fan. But, yeah, not great.
Yeah, not great. Almost like he didn't exist. Anyways, move on from that. So, on today's show, we've been doing the second week of our kind of free agency series. So, we had point guards last week. This week, we're going to do shooting guards. We'll discuss later why the Pacers need or might want to go get a shooting guard free agency, and then the players available, the Pacers, and go down a list of kind of the top guys to the mid-tier guys to the maybe backbenchers. But first, we're going to start this with just some basic news. So, the first thing we're going to hit with our new segment is the coaching carousel, which continues for the Pacers in terms of who is being interviewed and who is going to be hired at some point. So the latest news comes from Woj, of course, the man who basically breaks everything. And he, I don't know what day he went on and said this, I think it looks like on ESPN, but basically said D'Antoni might sit out this year because there isn't the right fit. I'm doing fit in quotation marks, probably something to do with money, be my guess. So that's the big news, because the Pacers obviously have been the, what, number one or number two team linked to him outside of Philly. And we kind of both have put him as the odds-on favorite, I think. I mean, I think Vegas had too. So that's interesting to see. If he does not the Pacers job, then it's a wide-open job, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel.
It sounded like from what Woj was saying is that every team with an opening still left, which would be Houston, obviously D'Antoni's not going there, the Clippers, the Thunder, the Pelicans, and the Pacers. It sounded like what he was saying is like, outside of the Pacers, where, you know, maybe they're still thinking about D'Antoni, none of those teams want him, and he might have to stay out a year to get a job. But he also said he thinks he'll coach again, right? And, you know, probably Warren Legarry said that to him. That's Mike D'Antoni's agent. But I think that's the vibe I got, is like, he's no longer, you know, Philly was his chance, and maybe, I don't know if he put too many eggs in that basket or anything like that, but, you know, he's just not being considered heavily for the other jobs. And the thing is, and you talked about this Friday along with the Doc stuff, right? Woj even listed specific Pacers candidates as they move on, which are like Billups, Chris Finch. I did a whoop internally when I saw Chris Finch's name, because we've been talking about him on this show way before it got out at this point, so that made me happy. And Dave Yeager, right? So it seems like the Pacers are narrowing it down quite a bit, and did not see D'Antoni's name there and then hear that makes me think he might be on the fringes of this process. Although I still have, you know, Every once in a while, I heard his name.
Sorry, that of me groaning at the name Dave Yeager. Sorry.
I know. Oh, my gosh. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, you know what's interesting is his resume is decent. His on-court stuff is okay, but he just clashes with these assistants. And remember that whole Marc Gasol thing where, like, totally benched him for, a whole game, right? And Gasol got pissed and was like, it's either him or me, basically. It's crazy. He's just the reason he doesn't have a job isn't because he's not good. It's because he butt heads with people, and he's not so good that he's maintained a job while butting heads in. I was pretty surprised to see he's a strong contender in the process for Woj.
Yeah, to me too, it looks like there was a couple of Miami Heat assistants in the mix, which means it's gone a little
bit. Agnes said that, yes.
So yeah, that's right. I can't remember who said it. That's right. And so if that's the case, this could go on probably another 2 weeks, because if they
– right.
So we recorded after the game on Sunday where the Heat now have made it 2-1, so they could probably go 6 or 7 at least in this series. If they do that, that makes the series go probably another week to 10 days, so a coach probably wouldn't come in for a final interview for probably another 2 weeks from one of the Miami teams. It's not a little longer, so that could push this process out, although, you know, you never know. You might just hire a guy from Zoom. I mean, that's the way it could work, but it's not like a normal process, right? Normally, if it was a normal year, the coach could still come in and interview during one of the days off, but they're playing over the day, and they're obviously in that bubble, so they can't, so that kind of screws with this process a tiny bit. I think the thing here, I'm wondering, I guess, with D'Antoni and Morrow, where's the next fit for him, right? I mean, this season, I feel like if the Pelicans aren't, like, you know what I mean? Like, he needs a specific kind of team, right? He's not going to go to some Sacramento level team. You know what I mean? Like, he's not at that point in his career where he just needs a job, right? He's still a desired candidate. Is like, if he waits another year, is the only option thing is the Bucks, right? They fire eventually.
Yes.
Bud, right?
Something, but that's like that, the Magic or something.
Because well, he wants to probably go to a place where you win a championship, right? I mean, he had the point in his career where he has everything. He's basically accomplished everything but a championship, right? So he's kind of like in the Andy Reid stage of his career almost. And he's much older than Reid. I think Andy Reid's only in his like early 60s. And I believe Gentry's almost 70. So like, you know, the Pacers probably don't actually fit that, but like the Clippers do, for example, a Bucks team would. I mean, I don't know where else to be openings that would really fit that. So, and the Pelicans, obviously, might, because they're probably a team in 3 or 4 that would be really good if Zion takes off.
So that's why
I'm interested.
The Scott tweet you're referencing has Scott's hearing that Jaeger, Billups, Finch, and D'Antoni are 4 of the names, right? We just talked about Jaeger. We've talked about D'Antoni thousands of times. Chris Finch, for those who don't know, this is a Tony affinity. He is a Pelicans assistant known for his offensive stuff. And then 2009 or 2010, I forget, he was a G League head coach, won a title there. Just saying, the Nick Nurse build. We've seen a lot of these guys.
We went through the top 5 coaches, and each of them has a different path out of becoming a top 5 coach. Brad Stevens coached for a mid-major.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Holster was the video coordinator.
Nick Nurse path.
I know, but there's so many. Like, there's no one path that delivers a great coach.
I know.
Avich was in Europe coaching. Who knows?
Right.
Vogel
with the other two names on there were Chris Quinn and Dan Craig, who, that's what you were saying, the Heat assistants, right? So the process could be held up unless someone is wowing them, they'll probably wait until those guys are done and then interview them in person. So we could still be some time away.
Yeah. You know, especially with what the draft's now early November, right?
Mid-November. Yeah. Over a month away.
Right. So that means free agency's not until like late November. So there's really no like rush to get this done. Like you know, used to be draft, free agency was like a week after, you know, week after season end, it was in draft and then free agency, but there's not that same timetable. So if you hired a coach, even by Halloween, for example, you still have about 2 weeks till a draft and not 3 weeks till free agency. So it's not like you can't sort of get caught up, I guess, and make that work. Now, you'd like to hire a coach as soon as possible just to get them in the building and stuff like that. That's important, but I don't know. I don't think there's not the same crunch, because usually most teams want to have their coach hired by the end of the NBA finals. It's usually kind of like a rule, or like kind of a semi-rule, right? So like, you know, the years that Mark Jackson would leave or Doc Rivers ended up, you know, going back to the league, they would always be hired and they leave right after the finals ended because they were broadcasters and stuff like that. So I don't know, this is kind of a weird year. Obviously it's been a weird year for about 6 months now, so
yeah.
nothing new there.
We have another news thing to talk about as well.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is Tony and I both talked about it kind of separately a little bit, but obviously I thought your tweet actually summed it best. So Victor Oladipo goes on. I don't know where'd he go on? What was the?
He was on Instagram Live with Fat Joe, the rapper. Which I can't believe this. I was on the Indie Cornrows podcast with Mark Schindler last week, and we were laughing. Like, why are we talking about Fat Joe? Like, I get talking about Depot, but what is it? What realm are we in where this is how we're getting our Pacers news these days?
Well, so Vic basically said, "I'm a Pacer. I can't control the rumors. I'm just focused on my knee." And then I thought yours was hilarious. Oladipo can, in fact, control the rumors. The one guy who can control the rumors could say,
"Yeah, he is literally the only person who can." Oh, that made me so mad. So, Adam, I want to do a victory lap really quick, if you don't mind. Last Tuesday, right, when the Athletic report came out, I was like, I bet we hear from Vic or the Pacers pretty soon. And lo and behold, Victor Oladipo chooses the weirdest back channel route of all time, but we had to hear from Vic somehow.
So,
because the first quote that circulated was him talking about, you know, what his goals are and his valuation of, like, money and a ring and stuff. And that's what went viral at first. The Paceroos podcast shared that. Check those guys out, Australian Pacers podcast. I know I'm pumping up the enemy, but their show is really good. No one's an enemy. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that what that went viral first, and it didn't, you know, some of the stuff he talked about in there with the rings and the money, those kind of clash when he would sign with the Pacers, right? The money's there, but the rings are not. And so what would that be for him? But then he also said the Paul George line to a T of I'm a Pacer, which, like, we've heard this before.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a mirror image of Paul George. I think we both talked about it a little bit. The question I kind of want to focus on is the value of him, I guess, going forward, because that's going to be the biggest discussion. And so the thing I kind of came on with him is that he really has two separate values. It's his expiring contract, and it being a big contract makes that valuable if you want to go get somebody making a ton of money but isn't worth it, like what Westbrook, for example, or, you know, somebody of that caliber, right? John Wall. Yep. Right guy. Teams who definitely get off their big contract if they could, and you could mix some money together and probably get close to a $40 million number, especially if you have another player you want to get rid of at the center position. The other thing is there's a lot of teams right now that feel like their window is next season. And so while, you know, we were in this phase for a while where teams are like, we're not going to trade for a guy because, well, even though they did, you know, Davis got traded, and so maybe that's bullshit anyways. But like they're thinking that, like, well, we're going to wait. Like that was the PG thing, right? No, he never really got traded until like the very last minute because every Laker said, well, we'll wait, right? Well, there are a few teams between the Clippers, Lakers, Heat, Bucks, I would say, and Nets who probably all feel like their window is next year. And they don't really know past that in the same sense just because of age of their kind of top-tier players, you know, LeBron, Butler, with the free agency looming of other players. So that's where his value might be actually be in a better spot than where Paul George was because I don't feel like teams are willing to over – No, I don't know. I mean, not in the sense that, like – you know, by the way, Paul George, if he was like talent-wise, should have gotten like four top assets. That's the way it usually used to work, nope. Right? Right?
Not with 1 year left.
Yeah, it used to be that way. Even when, like, you know, I mean, we're talking like you're talking about like four assets in the sense that you get like a first round pick, a second round pick, and then two kind of back players. That's usually how it used to
work. Oh, like one good asset and some other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, four assets, right? That used to kind of be the way. I mean, I think you go back to like the Shaq trade was that way, the Dwight Howard trade was that way, the Steve Nash trade. I mean, this is a long time ago, but it's not the new era of the NBA, right? And so I think for his talent level, he might be able to get the same amount of value as PG.
Yikes.
We can agree. Was a much better player at this point, even, you know what I mean? Just because of the situation. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess.
So I do not agree that his talent level merits anything close to that assets right now. I mean, he was just not that great in the bubble.
Yeah, like, but
that makes it really hard for me to do any evaluation for his value.
I think there are some desperate teams that are looking for that third guy on a rock. You know, I mean, I throw the Bucks there. I don't know what they have. But like the Bucks, the Heat might even win because they, you know, Butler's getting up there in age. Like those are teams that are kind of maybe more desperate than we think at the moment because they don't want to wait another year because then their star might be gone or the star might be 32 years old then.
Okay. So I think sort of this is where the Pacers could get aided, and it comes back to the expiring thing is that I'll use the Mavs as an example, but like teams like the Mavs. They probably want to pursue Giannis or that super stud 2021 free agency class in general, right? Teams really want to have money for that summer. So the Mavs, for example, they can trade for Vic, try it, and then if it works, great. Then if you don't get Giannis, you can still re-sign Vic. But if not, you can still try to get the guy. And so if, like, the Nets are in this group and the Mavs are in this group and maybe even a team like the Nuggets are in this group or the Jazz were like, if they go get a guy with they can afford the risk because they'll still be good. It's not like he'll make them worse, but at the same time he allows them to potentially build to something in the future. That I think ups his value a bit because it's not like as much of a Kawhi Leonard or scenario. Or like a lot of the PG problem was everybody knew he would leave in a year, even though he didn't. But that was like the thought at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not gonna give up a lot, he's gonna leave in a year. Well, with Vic, it's like you're kind of planning on maybe he does. So maybe that ups his suitors a little bit, but I don't think his value is particularly high. And I don't want to get into fake trades with Vic until we hear something.
No, I don't want to do any more
concrete. But, thinking of his valuation is interesting.
What I will say is if he does turn out to be a pretty decent player next year, and we're talking like, let's say 90% of a 2017-18 player, the Pacers have a much better chance at re-signing him than any other team because of the money they can offer him. And that also becomes more valuable in a trade because as much as – but we've seen it, right? Especially a guy like him, they value that fifth year. So even at the trade deadline, I'm not sure his value diminishes as much as it would another player because he's going to want that fifth year. He's going to want that, you know, amount of raise you can get for having Bird and stuff like that. So that's kind of a big deal with him too at the same time.
That's what I said last Tuesday as well. Like, even if he does want to be traded, if I'm the Pacers, unless he publicly pulls the BS card that PG kind of did and just goes
Anthony Davis did the same thing.
Yeah, and that's not out of the realm of possibility if he really, really, truly wants out. But, like, if he's willing to, you know, stick it out for a year and just leave, like, why not wait till the trade deadline? Like, his value can't go down. So,
but to me, he can't pull that because he hasn't been great for 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Right, I mean, PG.
Late 2018 is really the last time we saw him.
Yeah, I mean, he could have done it in 2018 and probably it worked. But, like, now he can't really because he's just – he doesn't have enough. He's just not good enough. He has to prove himself to be good enough to value even a max contract next season, basically. And if he call, if they do that bluff thing and they don't play him all year, does he even get a max deal next summer if he hasn't played a full season? I don't know. I mean, you don't know what you get from him. So like that's kind of part of the issue.
But. Yeah. But him demanding a trade fits in well to our rest of podcast conversation topic.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about shooting guards and free agency. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Roman. Talking about ED isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying something like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can just prescribe you real medication. It is simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional can work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you within 2 days for free. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to Roman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. And for our listeners right now, if you go to Roman.com/LockedOnNBA today, if approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. It's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. So this is our second week of doing this free agency series. So to start this off, like we've done, like we did last week, Tony, justify why the Pacers might need to sign a shooting guard or sign a trade for one.
So like point guard, this isn't like the most likely position ever, you know, between Lamb and Sumner. And you could even squint and move Justin Holiday down to two. I actually Google, so the way I get my free agents list per positions, instead of just coming through every team is Hoops Hype, like aggregates them all. And they list Justin Holiday as a shooting guard free agent, which is funny because he played the four all year. But like between Depot and potentially Brogdon and Lamb and Sumner, and if you squint Jay Holiday, and even Aaron Holiday played two sometimes. You're like, they have a lot of guys who can play the two, but also can play like the three or the one, whatever. The reason you would get one, though, is something we just talked about. Like if there's two to me, one is if you trade Depot, you might need a vet third stringer or something, right? You could start Jeremy. Say they just traded for picks. They get no players back, right? Then maybe you need Jeremy Lamb to start and Sumner's your backup, and then you need like an injury assurance or something. Or, you know, we've heard Jeremy Lamb's going to be ready by December, but what if he's not game ready by the time the season starts next year? Then you might need to patchwork someone in just for 1 year, something like that, which – those two situations are drastically different level of player you need at the position. But if they can play two and three, they've got a good advantage here. But just shooting guard, if Depot's still on the roster, it's kind of hard to justify getting one. But there are a few reasons, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on all those reasons, I guess. I think at the end of the day, there are some decent guys who get free agent this year, depending if, you know, how, you know, who gets RFA'd and whatnot. And there might be a move at a shooting guard spot, especially to kind of make a sign and trade with Vic or something like that, or make it, you know, something like that with a lot of guys who are on current rosters who, you know, whatever reason they want to do, maybe they can get a center and get a pick with it and like that. But assuming Vic is going to be gone, they need somebody to fill that starting shooting guard spot, whether that becomes Jeremy Lamb, whether that is Aaron Holiday, or whether that is somebody we're not thinking of. So to me, this is kind of like one of those things where, you know, the past, two offseasons, we've been surprised. I would say the past three, really, surprised what Pritchard's been able to pull off, right? I mean, you go from the Collison and Bogdanovich thing to Tiger Evans to pulling off Michael Barton last summer. So
it's funny, you know, we were really unimpressed with the 2017 offseason of Pritchard, and that one was great. And then we were really impressed with the 2018.
Last offseason was
that one sucked.
But last one was even – that's probably his best. I mean, to pull off that 2019. Brogdon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, 2019. That Brogdon.
Absolutely, his best summer. Yeah, Warren's going to work out. Brogdon's great. And Lamb's Lamb got hurt, but
an extension too. That deal is pretty solid as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was – he just – so the thing about him, and that's something we kind of have to maybe estimate a little bit, is he is prone to pull off something we don't see coming.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, he can just do that. Like, he clearly – you know, he knows what Indiana can and can't get, and he knows, you know, he has, a really good pulse on, like, what guys he can sign and trade for, or what guys are RFAs that he can pull out, stuff like that. And so I have a couple of names, but we don't do that yet. But, like, that's what we have to keep into account here. If Vic is really wanting out, that's going to be the guy he's going to use to pull something maybe crazy out that we don't see.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The other challenging thing is, like, just because they have so many that we already talked about this with point guards, right? They have such a logjam at the guards that I don't know that even if they trade Depot for another guard, like how much is that guy going to play? How much is that going to affect the position? Well, is that going to impact who this? It's very fluid and convoluted and hard to really look forward.
We can probably agree, I guess maybe Jeremy Lamb, but they don't really have a starting outside of it. They don't have a starting caliber shooting guard, right? Lamb, you can make a case for, but like I think as a six man, that's like the perfect spot for him. You know what I mean? He could certainly start at times, but like. If they don't have Vic, they don't have anybody like that's that.
Well, I'll say the take that I'll stand by for the rest of his Pacers career that Brogdon is the starting caliber shooting guard.
Okay, but then who's their starting caliber point guard?
Exactly, they don't have the point guard.
So you don't have a starting caliber guy next to Brogdon. Is what I mean.
You know the phrase like square peg round hole. Brogdon is like a square with like some curved edges, right?
He's like Plato in that game.
Yeah,
instead of using wood, he's Plato because he fits in on the holes.
Yes, it's fresh. Well, but it's like Plato that's just a little too big. You know, you can kind of fit it in, but not permanently. But anyway, so it's hard for me to see if the Vic trade doesn't happen this offseason, which I don't predict it will because of the trade deadline thing we just said. But outside of that, it's hard for me to see a situation where they get like a really quality shooting guard. But if he does get traded, I could see them, like you're saying, and Lamb got hurt, right? So he's going to be worse. They can squint and go, oh, we don't have, this is a big hole for us. We need to get someone.
There's one name I keep circling in my mind. Because if they lose Vic.
Don't do names yet. No names.
No, not doing names yet. If they lose Vic, they have to readjust their window. Now, I think they still have, like, let's say, but they have to readjust the fact they have to think, our window reset this last season, right? So, first round, the next year, second round, so on, right? With Vic, there's like kind of an expectation if he comes back to some level, they can be an Eastern Conference Finals team, right? And maybe that's too much, but like that's kind of the goal. But if Vic's not there, then the goal is just to win a first round series whatever way possible, whether you're the 4-5 matchup again, right? That's kind of becomes the goal again. And so they have to figure out if they're going to lose Vic, because I don't think they want to rebuild, and I don't think anyone's in the rebuild, and they have too good of players probably to be in a rebuild mode. They would, at worst case, be a 7 seed, I think pretty much 7 or 8 seed, just because Brogdon Sabonis, which we saw basically carried the team for most of the first half of the season to enough wins to be, you know, a 7 or 8 seed at minimum, if not more. So then the question is, how do you replace him with a player who can be part of that kind of coming up in terms of like timing out and in terms of their kind of all their same.
Yeah. Lines, maybe they get that player back in the trade, but this is not about trades. This is about free agency.
No.
I look forward to the day that it potentially happens where we have to talk about Vic trades, but I don't think we're going to do that until we get strong.
Not that Jerry Weiss is estimating the idea of a sign and trade for one of these guys, one of the top guys in this kind of thing, because they don't have any cap space. I think a sign and trade with Vic is very possible.
I only have one guy that I think will get more than the MLE and even needs a sign and trade.
Well, that's probably the same guy I have, to be honest. So let's just do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll just talk about players for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends over at BuiltBar.com. They've been a sponsor of our podcast now for over 6 months, and they are a great protein bar that comes in 18 amazing flavors. Everything from caramel, brownie, to coconut almond, to salted caramel. They have every kind of protein bar covered in chocolate that you can imagine that is soft and easy to chew. These Built Bars are great for the healthy conscious person. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. My favorite one, like I've said many, many times, is the peanut butter one, which is 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. You should go right now to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order.
Okay, I want to talk first and get some caveats out of the way.
Well, okay, I was going to do that too. Can I do that real fast and then host?
Yes, go ahead.
So I am basing shooting guards on the Sport Trek shooting guard list of free agents. So they might not be, you might make a case they're not, whatever. And I am going to look at their age and I will keep you checked on their age every single
I'm
moment.
Ready with, I agree I'm last ready time with we, the ages
that,
this time.
Now, I agree last time we were a little poor and that we were, it was the first time in the segment. We're getting better at each week, but I will make sure I check you on all the ages. Like, no, this guy's this year old.
I'm ready with the ages this time. I can't believe it.
So the other thing.
My caveat I want to get out of the way is there are three pretty solid shooting guards in this class.
Yeah.
Or that could be in this class that have player options. And I expect all of these three guys to opt in and stay with their teams.
Okay, Rosen, Batum, and Hardaway?
Batum, I have as a small forward. But
fine.
Rosen is one of them. Evan Fournier is another one.
That's the guy.
Those three I all think stay with their current teams for another year. So I am not counting them as free agents for this process.
Okay.
But Batum is bad also, so.
Yeah, for sure hopping in is. It'll be-
okay, so we both just said this last segment, but I only have I actually think you're going to say someone different than me, but yeah, I think there's only one shooting guard on the market this offseason for sure that is worth more than the mid-level exception that could fit the starting caliber shooting guard if Vic is gone that they would go sign. Who is it for you?
Mine's Bogdanović.
Oh, okay. Wait, it's the same guy. Good.
Of course, Tony. We're not like the dude. Basically, what he got offered, I think they said 4 for 51 and turned it down. He's a high 30% three-point shooter, like I think career 70.
He's good.
37. He's a good player. I mean, he just is. Yeah. And he fits in a complimentary role next to a team if you're building kind of as your core two, Sabonis and Brogdon, right? So, like, he doesn't have to be like the, you know, he's can kind of be on the side and necessarily like have to be in the action and every time have the ball in his hands at every moment. And he's a guy that I don't know. I mean, obviously he's RFA'd and we'll see, but like that's in my mind, he makes a little bit of sense if you can maybe overpay him a tiny bit, let's say 4 for 80, or if maybe that's not even overpaying him.
Wow.
But like maybe a little bit, or like what did Bowen get last summer? 4 for 72. That maybe is in that range. I know it's kind of funny that's the last name, but that's kind of the range I'm looking at for him. And the Kings would probably take Vic and like something just because they are desperate for somebody to bring somebody in. You know what I mean? For
I guess the Kings could be a Vic team.
I mean, the Kings are – no, I mean, they're not going to re-sign him, but
– I'd rather just trade Vic for Buddy Hield at that point.
Well, but maybe the Kings say, well, we don't want him anyways, this guy. We can get Vic, who is just like a guy we can sell tickets on basically because he's, you know, a name-ish, an all, yeah. Former All-Star. And maybe they'll exceed and then they can sign him, but, I mean, that's probably a pipe trade, but whatever.
Yeah, Bogdan can create for himself, and he showed next to Fox that he can be the secondary creator type for the Kings. Between him and Buddy and just this general random Luke Walton doesn't know who the hell he wants to start in this. He hasn't really been a starter for the Kings, but he's been good enough to be one. He would not be the – I guess he'd kind of be like a split between Jeremy Lamb and TJ Warren in terms of self-creation, but a good, like, end of shot clock option guy, good shooter. Yeah, I think he's the only – two guard free agent that you can say for sure starter who can fill a role. There's one other guy I think is a starter, but he's the only guy that has enough extra skills to be getting more than the mid-level for sure this summer.
Yeah, and I think the thing about him with number two in a similar sense, he's actually in a similar spot to Bojan in the sense that he came to the NBA late. And so, you know, I know they're older, but you have to think of an NBA progression being a third season. You'll seem to get better their fourth and fifth. Right. And then we saw Bojan, who this year, what, his sixth season this year? And it's like his peak season was his sixth season. I mean, he had an incredible year. But then in the injury, he probably would have helped the Jets win a first-round series, frankly. So, I mean, you have to think about that, right? So, if you view it in that sense, he's only a third-year player. He's got room to keep growing and get better and, you know, peak maybe in two or three seasons. Like, if you sign him to a four-year deal, now you're getting him right in kind of his peak, you know, prime-ish era. So maybe hopefully you're betting on that and not just getting a guy who's too old or, you know, not experienced enough, I guess. You're kind of right in a good spot. So
the next guy I have, I want to talk about because he can play two and three. And if Justin Holiday's gone, he could be especially valuable in the rotation, right? Let's just play McDermott at bench four, basically. This guy can play wing. He could start if Vic wasn't playing because he's really good at one thing. I think you know what I'm talking about. That is Joe Harris.
Yeah.
Joe Harris's thing is shooting. He is an insanely good shooter. He isn't really good at much else NBA wise. I mean, he's like McDermott, except better shooting. You know, he led the league in 3-point shooting in 2018-19, was still good at well over 40% the last 3 years. He's a better shooter than McDermott, but also has that, you know, two-man game, four-game kind of stuff that McDermott has. Maybe a little bit better of a rebounder, but he's a better player than McDermott for sure, but you don't go get the guy who needs to be set up, right? He's good, and he would clearly help them just because he's an amazing shooter, but I wouldn't give more than the mid-level exception for him. But he would be a good fit even if, like, because they could play him at two and three, even if Vic is still on the roster, you could go get Joe Harris and go, sweet, good shooter.
Yeah, I mean, he fits if they don't get Justin Holiday back. I mean, he's the perfect right. Kind of – he actually might even be a better player than Justin Holiday depending on what you value at the moment. I think Holiday defense puts him over Joe Harris, but just me. Yeah, I mean, I think he's slightly better than McDermott in the sense that I think he's a little bit better of a two-point shooter and maybe a little – can do a tiny bit more, you know, like putting the ball on the floor, like just a tiny bit more than McDermott can.
He's definitely better.
Yeah, I mean, they basically – I think that summer that Pacers and McDermott, they put 3 for 21 out for either him or McDermott, whoever took it first, basically was the deal. I mean, that's the Pacers viewed them very similarly.
I forgot.
That's what Brian Windhorst said on his podcast, But
oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he said, at least. Harris, I think, was signed first by the Nets, I want to say.
Okay.
I
didn't remember that.
Yeah, I remember that, because remember they were basically looking for a shooter. So first they went out, I think actually that was the summer they also went after J.J. Redick for a second, and he decided to go back to Philadelphia that summer. Anyways, I'm digressing. Anyway, but like, he would be a good fit just because you can't have enough good shooting, to be honest. You just can't.
Right.
So if he, you know, I don't know. The question is, like, the Nets could offer more than that, right? They have 125% of his current contract, which gets him to probably around – well, they have his bird rights, right? So they could print anything. And
they'll
so,
probably go over it.
Right, 3 for 45 is probably what they could give, or 2 for 30, something crazy like that. I guess Pacers could really go all in and go 4 for 40, but that feels like a much for a guy who's 29 years old. Even if as good a shooter he is, I'm just not sure you want to, like, be committed to any sort of one-dimensional player for more than a year or two, because you want to make them keep working, if that kind of makes sense. Working for the next deal in a way, but we'll see.
The thing is about McDermott and Joe Harris and even Harris's shooting is we haven't hardly talked about this, but McDermott's expiring next year, right? So if you go get that shooter for a longer deal, even if you lose McDermott next offseason, you still have the in-house shooter that you need to have the necessary space. I mean, more the merrier, but still.
Well, they have McDermott's bird rights, though.
They will.
So, I mean, it'd be hard to see.
Up, but who knows what he'll want at that point, you know?
Yeah, I guess my thing is, I think you want to keep the mid-level available as much as possible. It's kind of the thing, I guess. But if you know, especially if you're a team that is maybe in flux versus the team that's going to the next step, right? The mid-level is, like, really good for teams that are, like, a player that are already there and just looking to add depth and, you know, like...
Why would they not use the mid-level?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think you want to lock it up for 4 years is what I'm trying to say.
Why?
Because I think you want to have the mid-level available as many, like, because you
have the mid-level every year, even if you use it the year before.
I thought if you sign and got a 4 for 40, is it still available in the next season?
Yes. The BAE is the one that is not available.
If you okay. So that,
mid-level's that's there.
Okay,
I see the confusion.
But the
if that's a difference, if adding a fourth year gets to Joe Harris, I would do that 100%.
But the mid-level, you can only use when you have caps, like between what your cap number is and your luxury tax number, right? So, like, if your luxury tax is 140.
Full thing, yes.
Right? So, like, that's what I mean. I guess maybe you want to have the full MLE available as much as possible. Just because if you're not a team that's, like adding Joe Harris is good, but if you're a team that's not, like, and definitely win a championship, I'm not sure maybe you're better off trying to wait, you know, for that next a year when it's come available. But if you're rebuilding, you probably have the cap space anyways. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's up in the air for me. I guess
so every other available two guard, Joe Harris can probably start, right? He started for the Nets all these years, and obviously had Kyrie and D'Lo and, like, elite creators, but, you know, he could start in place of Vic if needed, or just in general, he's a good player. But
same way Holiday starts games at times. I think same situation.
Yeah. But everyone else that's a shooting guard for me is not a starter level player. It's kind of a weak group of guys this year.
So the other name I just throw out, KCP. Probably not, right? Not a starter?
He's a player option, too. I bet if they win the title, why would he leave even, right?
Well, could he get more? Could he get the full mid-level? Maybe not.
Maybe.
That's the only thing. Right,
the other thing, and this applies to another guy, too. Clutch Sports guys, I always just assume they're either going to stay with their current team and get a bunch of money because teams want to kiss LeBron's agency's ass, or they're going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, but remember KCP turned out $80 million. His agent owes him.
Yeah, that. Ooh, the Pistons have to be stoked that worked out the way it did. But
yeah, they offered him 5 for – so he's basically made half that amount of money.
Yes. The other guy – I'll just say it now. The other guy is Jordan Clarkson. He's a clutch dude. I've actually heard rumblings that the Jazz are quite fond of Jordan Clarkson. But I don't know that the Pacers would love another off-the-dribble two-guard creator. So
– yeah, so, like, what about, like, Avery Bradley? I mean, he's not worth anyone close to Miller, but is he still any good to you? I mean, he's been really kind of the past few years.
Yeah, he's a player option too.
You think he takes it, I guess, at 4.8?
I don't know what to think about him because he's not in the bubble, right? I have no idea what to think.
Okay, and then
he would stay with the Lakers as well.
So then I'll let you go because I'm sure you have some, you know, backbenchers you're interested in. So give me some
The two next best guys are both restricted. That's Dylan Brooks for the Grizzlies, who is one of the most inconsistent players in the NBA. He's pretty good at his best, but very hit and miss. And then Malik Beasley for the Wolves. He'll probably stay with the Wolves. He's a good player. They got him in the I'm blanking completely. What was the big Nuggets and Wolves trade that happened this year? Well, whatever. Malik Beasley's on the Wolves now, and he's really good. But the other thing is he just had and a rest. So his restricted free agency is not looking so hot anymore. So I don't – and it's hard to use your MLE to get restricted free agents, like, in general, because the other team can match with bird rights. And
so the only thing I throw out there, what do you think of Glenn Robinson coming back?
That'd be fine. Right? I don't know if he would do it because, you know, those minimum guys usually like to take big roles so they can prove themselves, and he probably wouldn't even be in the rotation, so I doubt it. But.
Well, I'm trying to think how he could break the rotation. Let me think about that for a second.
Yeah, see, so everyone left. I was going to say this before I talked about the two restricted guys and why I don't think they'll chase them is that everyone left. I think they have to either be a specialist at something, which one of these guys is, or be able to play like three and four almost, like Justin Holiday-esque.
Well,
to be able to get a Pacers roster spot because they have this logjam, like why else would they go for anybody?
So my thought is if they lose Justin Holiday and can't replace him, GR3 is a very good, like, if you can't get any of the top.
He can play wing. He can't really play four, but he can play wing. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, he fits kind of where Holiday, because you have enough guards. If Vic is standing around between Vic, Brogdon, Aaron Holiday, like you can fit, you know what I mean? And then you can kind of, I know he plays more, obviously plays more of a three, but I mean, that's sort of the
game as well. So when I say specialists, I'm only talking about one guy left that we haven't got to. It's Bryn Forbes. If those of you don't know who Bryn Forbes is, I went to Michigan State, played for the Spurs. 4 years in the league, all with San Antonio, has shot 40% from three for them. He is a shooter only. I wouldn't, you know, he would basically be like, he would fall into the category of like Vic's gone and Lamb is hurt, and then you might have a spot for him in the rotation, but because he can only play the two, he's really tiny, so you're kind of limited there. But anyone else who can play multiple positions is good to go. And I'm only talking about one guy. Can I just name him?
Yeah.
Austin Rivers. What do you think of Austin Rivers?
You know, I'm not like super high on him, to be honest. I think the sense, I think he is a Houston makes players who love to shoot look good at times. I mean, I think they sort of have a way of turning a guy look into pretty good players, make him look better because they let him take ungodly amount of shots. The problem is that, like, because you go to Houston and shoot 15 shots off the dribble basically without having to pass the ball, it's totally different to come to a team with a pace where you just like probably won't even have close to the same role. And I don't know how. Pleasure to adjust that. You were kind of saying that with the last few guys, but like,
yeah,
Rivers, even, I mean, he'd be on, like, could he beat out Jeremy Lamb? Probably, maybe, probably. I mean, at least if
he's worse than Jeremy Lamb.
No, if Lamb isn't 100%, he probably could, but that's probably it, right?
Yeah,
that's all. I mean, if Lamb is like not 100% to start, he could probably get like that, you know, 6-7 minute spot. But after Lamb gets back to 89% of himself, if he does, I mean, I don't know if Austin Rivers really gonna crack the top nine, and I'm sure he'll be happy about that.
He, like, the Rockets screw up my perception of players' positions. Like, we talked about MCW playing on the wing. You go, oh, MCW can play. Well, he played a little wing for them. He did for the Magic, too. But, like, Austin Rivers plays on the wing for the Rockets. And I go, oh, yeah, you know, he can play wing. He's 6'3". He can't really play wing.
If D'Antoni comes as the coach, Robert, it makes sense. Maybe he knows the system, can play a little bit, and that will help.
The reason I mentioned the Rockets in perception, though, is, you know, in my head, I go, oh, Rivers can play 1-3. He's probably only going to play 1-2, but he has enough positional versatility to make – the problem is he would not take the minimum. He would not be a minimum dude willing to play one of three positions. So it's just – it's impossible, but that's why I brought him up.
So the last thing I have for you, is there any possible way the Pacers somehow make a move for DeMar DeRozan?
No.
Done. I don't think there's like some weird world where they can get a first-round pick back maybe and send Vic that way and Leaf and make it work for one –
Or they get a first back?
I don't know because – DeRozan's a lot of money. I don't know why. You think DeRozan has more value than Vic at this moment? I actually might.
Very much so. A lot more.
I guess I'm thinking like the Spurs can clear cap space and then go get somebody, but they really won't have it under the cap anyways because they're at $120 million and even if they get rid of his salary, they're still at 93, which is not even enough to get like a max level player. So I don't know. I mean,
I understand all limitations with DeMar, but he is definitely better than Vic right now.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that. I'm just trying to think like, he would be kind of like the perfect one-year replacement for Vic because you have a bridge gap because it's pretty.
That's what I'm saying. Like the trade would be Vic and TJ Leaf and Edmund Sumner or something.
To be honest, the move might be like it might be a year from now where you like I don't know how could you make $28 million? Well, I guess you get rid of Vic's salary, you have some space, and then you make a little move. Where you give up some stuff for him, right?
They should not want DeMar.
Right? Like, if Vic's off the books and Leaf's off the books and McDermott's off the books, you could probably have enough room to get DeRozan if you wanted to for like a 1-year deal. But I don't
still
know.
Not enough.
I don't know if you want to do that. I don't know. I'm just thinking
out loud. The only other two people I would like to give any thought to in this segment is, one is Rodney Hood, who was coming off an injury like Lamb, so unlikely he could play 2-3, but no. The other one's Alec Burks, the other guy in the trade between the Golden State Warriors and the 76ers this season. He is better than JR3, but cannot play as many positions as JR3. So a lot of guys like who are worse than Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb's right, the bench, just go create shots, dude, and just play Jeremy Lamb at that point. So no reason to get that guy.
Yeah.
My whole list. I'm out of guys.
Yeah, I'm
really crappy shooting guard class.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know how to put it. When you look at the top, I mean, Tim Hardaway, you some ops in, right?
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah.
You know, I guess what could he get 3 for 30? He's been actually pretty good.
The problem is, so the Mavs would have his bird rights if he opts out, but they don't want to give him a longer term deal. They want to keep their powder dry for that 2021 free agency I've been talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
So they probably behoove him opting in, and then they could use his bird rights after they sign their big free agent.
Yeah, you think he could steal 72 million from the Knicks again, or maybe possibly?
I remember the Hawks, like all the reporting that summer, the Hawks were like, "Oh, we'll keep him for like between 40 and 50," we think, and then the Knicks gave him 72. Like 75 million.
Yeah, 4 for 70.
I mean, just an absurd number.
Well,
the 2021, just because I've talked about it so much in the show. There's some player okay, so PG, Blake, Kawhi, LeBron, CP3, all player options. The following guys don't have player options: Gordon Hayward, Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Drew Holiday, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond, Steven Adams, Giannis, LaMarcus Aldridge, Vic. I mean, it's just an insanely good free agent class. So a lot of teams want to keep the old cap sheet dry for that year.
Do you think the Pacers, and that's where Vic might have some value, just saying. You think the Pacers could get the Knicks?
That's why I talked about the
overpay for Vic.
What?
Think you can get the Knicks to overpay for Vic?
They probably wouldn't like to. If we ever do Vic fake trades, I only have three teams that aren't the Heat that I think could trade for him, and the Knicks and Mavs are two of them.
Yeah, I think I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Clippers. They might make some move with their.
They just don't have the contracts to do it.
Well, they have one guy who's probably they could sign and trade him, but we'll see what happens with that.
If you're talking about Montrezl Hill coming to the Pacers, we're going to end the podcast right now.
I'm just saying they have a guy. Just saying. Anyways. Please, Lord. We are ending the podcast anyways right now.
Get me out of here.
We'll do that in the power forward conversation or whatever you want to call him. Anyways.
No, we won't.
Well, we will, but yes, because he's a free agent, Tony. We will have to do it during that.
Okay. Well, no, I will prepare my one sentence about Montrezl Harrell.
The guy who got Doc fired.
I will wait till we get to centers.
Is he a center? Is he a power forward? What he's a center. Okay. All right. That's 6'8 or whatever. He's not very tall. Anyway.
Samson size.
Yeah. He's Draymond Green size almost pretty much. Anything else before we wrap up?
No. Point guard and shooting guard are probably going to be – well, center. I guess the forwards are the interesting part of this discussion. So I'm imagining next Monday will be much more fun and interesting.
Yeah, I think
– free agents.
Yeah, I think the 3 and 4, especially the spot where the Pacers really could upgrade if they wanted to.
Yep.
And speaking of 3s and 4s, that's kind of the spot in the starting lineup, really, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Want to play, guys.
Our season recaps this week are the backup wings, Justin Holiday and Doug McDermott. Should be fun.
All right, yeah. I'm excited for this week. We'll see the hire a coach. Probably not, sounds like, but we will find out. And I know every week we say that, so we'll see if they hire a coach.
Finals ending could actually expedite the process for once.
So. I think the Heat might take this out at least 6. They looked pretty good tonight. And
they look good today.
Might get Bam back soon, so we'll see what happens. In a Butler play like this, they might win the series for, you know, pull that Dwayne Wade in 2006 kind of thing.
That would be awesome.
All right, that's all we got for his Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, me at Vroom Adam 5, Tony at TSNBA. That is all for today's show, and we'll see you guys again.